It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. I know that my New Year's resolution was not to get behind on emails, producer Steve, but I'm going to work on it this weekend.
Well, I think I said it yesterday. I'm just amazed that you're even paying attention to that list. Most people have forgotten about it by January 15th.
Actually, you know what? Patty reminded me about it. But anyway, you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so greatly appreciate each and every one of you. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity. And we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, and that is government-induced inflation.
And the list just keeps getting longer.
It does. It keeps getting longer, for sure. And thank you to each and every one of you who listen to us. And tell people about us. I know we are getting new listeners and followers each and every day, but I treasure each and value each and every one of you. And today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. And producer Steve, thank you. I get to work with this great team, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Jen, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is a great day, producer Steve.
It is, and I represent that group of people, I guess, to a degree, since I'm always mentioned first, but you make it all possible. You are the base, the shoulders. I guess you're standing on our shoulders, but then again, we're standing on yours.
Tell you, it is a great team. And it is an honor to get to work with everybody. In studio with me today is Holly Kluth, and she is a candidate for Douglas County Sheriff. And Holly, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
And you were on the show,
July.
Was it back in July? Okay, great. Well, it's good to have you here. We're going to talk about what is on everybody's minds, and that is constitutional sheriff, the red flag law, and crime.
Right.
And so we'll focus on that in the second segment. But let's go ahead and get into some of the other things that we're doing. Producer Steve, do we not have gold on our American? Well, we always do. We always do. But this is really shiny gold for this Sunday's America's Veterans Story Show.
This guy, World War II vet. In two major campaigns, everyone heard of the Battle of the Bulge, but maybe not so familiar with the Operation
Varsity
in what happened, 3 months later. So this guy, he's good.
And it's Gilbert J. Herrera, 97 years old. I don't think that we said that in the interview. 97 years old. He joined the Army at the age of 18. In 1943, and I want to invite everybody to do something very special. This next Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock at Redemption Hills Church, located at 7462 South Everett Street in Littleton, there's going to be a program to honor him. He's never really been honored. We didn't even talk about this. He is the recipient of a Bronze Star as well. But my friends, it would be great for as many of us to show up and to honor him. And I will also tell you, this is a great opportunity to meet a World War II veteran. And I was thinking about it afterwards, producer Steve. He actually saw George Patton. Was very close to him, George Patton. General Patton came up. There was troops that they were trying to get them up a hill. and they had these tractors that were pulling the troops in kind of wagons behind it, and it was so snowy, it was so cold that the wheels were spinning. And apparently General Patton drives up and he said, "Who's in charge here?" And then he said, "Oh, never mind." He said, "All you guys get out of here and you push." And that's what they – so here you have the opportunity to be in the same room as someone that was with George Patton. I think it's pretty amazing.
You know, I watched him as he was – as you guys were doing the interview, and many times he had a smile on his face. Now, it's a smile, you know, from a veteran, a World War II vet. Only, I guess I'm thinking the reason is because he realized that he – you know, they were facing death in many different ways throughout those two major campaigns, and yet he beat it. And I think he has a not a cockiness, that's not the right word.
No.
But a certain kind of a sway in him, the way he, you know, as he was remembering these things that you guys were talking about, and it just touched me.
It touched me as well. So you'll want to tune into the interview. That's this Sunday at 3 p.m. here on KLZ 560. But please join us at 10 o'clock next Tuesday morning at Redemption Church, and you will get to meet Gilbert J. Herrera and honor him for what he did for our country. Also, check out, and I was going to write this down, it's coelected.com, and that is Natalie Minton's event for local elected official candidates and support team workshop. It is March 5th down at the Independence Institute, 1 to 5. And so be sure and check that out as well. And the show comes to you because I have great partners, and one of those is Hooters Restaurants. And they have 5 locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. Yesterday, the girls came over. In fact, Holly, you were there,
mm-hmm.
and I had some of those great Hooters wings.
Yes.
Because Wednesday is Wings Day, and you buy 20, you get 10 for free. And so that was great. But be sure and check out our website, and we have all of our sponsors there. I realize I'm talking 1,000 miles an hour, aren't I, Producer Steve? Patty's going to say, slow down, slow down. I have so much I want to share.
Speaking of Patty.
We have her on the line.
Yes.
Because of Bill of the Day. Patty Kurgan is our researcher, and she does an amazing job. And every day she is putting on the outline a Bill of the Day that needs our attention. And Steve and I were both kind of scratching our heads on this one. This is House Bill 22-1069. The sponsors are both Republicans, Representative Rod Bockenfeld and Senator Kevin Priola. And the title is The Parent Authority to Request Public School Reforms. And we thought, well, let's get Patty on here to explain it. So, Patty Kurgan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for inviting me. I think this one's fairly simple. It actually gives parents the authority to request a public meeting about the school and how it has low-performing students. I think this is great on the heels of all the closures that we have with schools due to COVID, and our students are way behind. And now, instead of being closed out at school board meetings, if that happens and there's no public comment, then parents can petition. And there's a process here that they can petition. They have to have 50% of the parents who have signed the petition, and they can state, okay, now we have to have a meeting specifically on how poor our school has been performing and what kind of measures are we going to put in place. Once that meeting's called, if the school board says, oh, you know, we're just going to ignore you, well, then they can actually go to the state board and hear their petition. So I think it's very important because it does give parents a voice as to letting the whole school district know that they're very cognitive that their students are way behind. Plus, they then can have a voice in how to rectify this problem. So even we always talk about CRT, critical race theory. There's a lot of time spent on that and not the basics of reading, writing, arithmetic, science. Then parents can say, we don't want this, the CRT. We want our students to learn this. I think it's very important. It's sort of the sister bill to House Bill 22-1066, which we talked about, public education curriculum and professional development information, where all the public schools would have to be transparent, so that we have to put education materials, subject and course materials, surveys, assessments, things like that. The reason why I put it up there for today is it was supposed to have been heard this week. It was not. you all our listeners have time to write in. It's now scheduled to be heard on March 3rd, which is next Thursday. I have all the committee members who are on the House Education Committee, and people can write them. I think it's very important that parents know that this is an opportunity for them to not be shut out and have their voice heard.
You know, Patty, it's amazing that we have to have a piece of legislation for this, because we're supposed to be electing school board members who are our representatives. But we've seen, with the whole COVID shutdown thing, parents are realizing that sending their kids to school, they haven't been learning reading, writing, arithmetic, history, geography, science. But it's almost beyond me, Patty, that we have to have this in 2022 America. But I guess we do have to have this, yes?
Oh, exactly. In fact, part of the requirement to petition is the school has to have had a turnaround plan for two consecutive school years. So it's not like the school hasn't been put on notice. They have. They just haven't done anything about it. And parents are frustrated. They want their students to learn, not to have propaganda put down their throats. So I from what I can see, I think this is a good bill, and it gives parents the opportunity to really have their voice heard and in what direction the school goes.
Well, I have to acknowledge, as Senator Kevin Priola is on this particular bill, and yes, many times I'm frustrated with Senator Priola with some of the bills that he's running, but so I have to say hats off to him on this. This is a good bill. Patty, thanks so much for clarifying that, because Steve and I, we weren't quite sure why we needed this, so thanks for clarifying that.
Well, unfortunately, we do need it. We shouldn't need it, but it's something that we're seeing time and time again where we need these types of bills. So this is a good one.
Okay. Patty Kurgan, researcher for the Kim Munson Show, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kim. Have a good day.
Okay. And again, that's House Bill 22-1069. Sponsors are Representative Rod Bockenfeld and Senator Kevin Priola. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Holly Kluth is in studio, and she is running for Douglas County Sheriff. And we're going to talk about these important questions that are on everybody's mind. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And Holly Kluth is in studio. Before we get into all that, I just zoomed right past our quote of the day. And it's very important in light of our conversations that we'll have today, particularly with Lisa Bennett in segments 3 and 4. But let's see here. This is Thomas Jefferson. He was an American statesman, diplomat, lawyer, architect, philosopher, and founding father who served as the third president of the United States from 1801 to 1809. Did you vote for him?
No, but didn't you go to school with his father?
Bada boom. He was born in 1743. He died on July 4th, 1826. Did you know that, Holly? 50 years after they signed the Declaration of Independence, and he and John Adams died on the same day. Is that unbelievable?
I heard that.
Okay, here's our quote. To compel a man to furnish funds for the propagation of ideas he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical. It must have been going on back then, Producer Steve. You know, it's the things that we're facing aren't really new. They're consistent, generation after generation. That's why our Declaration and our Constitution are so timeless and so important, Producer Steve.
Nothing new under the sun, as the phrase goes, and the only continuum between then and now is human nature. So it is what it is.
Well, and I think that's a good segue over here to Holly. Just mention the Constitution.
There you go.
And constitutional sheriff. And I have to congratulate you. You and I are having a race for how many papers, pieces of paper we can have on this. I'm a paper girl. You clearly are, too. constitutional sheriffs.
Yep.
That is a conversation with the lockdowns and the mandates and public health edicts out there. Mm-hmm. People are paying attention. So talk to me about a constitutional sheriff.
Oh, my gosh. So I know people are paying attention. I've been campaigning for a year, and it's been fabulous being able to get to know the citizens of Douglas County and what their concerns are. And they're all concerned about the same thing. They're concerned about losing their freedom. And a constitutional sheriff, really, Constitution, sheriff swears to uphold the Constitution. That's their duty. So when something comes down that appears to be against the Constitution or violating someone's constitutional rights, it's the sheriff's duty to protect that person.
Well, and we have seen there's this continually taking of our rights. In fact, Gilbert J. Herrera, who we interviewed for our America's Veterans Story show, World War II veteran, 97 years old, he finished the show up with, "We're losing our rights. Mm-hmm. We're losing our freedoms."
Yeah.
And people are realizing that. I think it had been more subtle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But now it's front and center.
Yeah, they've seen it firsthand for their families, their jobs, their liberties. And I think Red Flag really is an example of that. And when you see a law that does not conform to the Constitution, that is against it in so many areas, you have to say, this is a law we cannot use. We cannot violate someone's constitutional rights to protect another person. And I won't.
Wow. Well, let's talk about the red flag law then.
Okay.
Very frustrated with that. I read it. I haven't read it since it was passed, but I read it when it was going through the legislature. And what I was so concerned about that is the lack of due process.
Mm-hmm.
And due process is also something that is in the Constitution.
Yep.
So granted, over here, it ostensibly was put in place to protect people from
some extreme risk.
Some extreme risk. But it seems to me like instead of extricating the weapons, you would do something with the person.
Yeah, and it does nothing for the person. So, you know, just all of the... It is such a long and complicated law, number one. And then you look at it and the defendant can't even be there when someone makes an allegation. You've got a judge making a decision based on one person's allegation without any corroborating evidence, without probable cause. And that judge is supposed to be determining whether this person is mentally ill enough to be dangerous. What happened to a certified psychologist determining that someone's mentally ill? And yet we're going ahead and taking this person's rights, their constitutional rights away without due process. So I will not use it. And I've been criticized by one of my opponents for saying that I will never use it. I will never use it. I will not use an unconstitutional law.
Wow. Okay. I guess that's pretty clear. Anything else you want to say about that?
Well, I think the real problem is when you start accepting that these types of laws are okay, that it becomes commonplace. If you're using it, if you're trying to develop policy around it to make it more constitutional, number one, you've got the danger of someone using it that does not develop policy around it. But number two, you're saying it's okay. You are starting down that path of slowly taking away our constitutional rights and saying it is okay in an emergency or an extreme situation. What will be next?
Well, that's a good point, because on the big level, supposedly there was something very extreme. And what we see when mm-hmm. PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties take rights from people,
yep.
they don't like to give them back.
Yeah, oh, absolutely not. It's hard to get those things overturned.
Yes, definitely. Okay, well, thank you.
Sure.
I'm going to just mention one other thing, Holly, and that is that our representatives, I'm no longer calling them elected officials. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be our representatives. Mm-hmm. And when they pass, whether or not it is an ordinance at the local level or a law or a regulation, they really need to take that litmus test of whether or not it's constitutional.
Right.
Because if it's not constitutional, it's really not a correct law. Now, we have the judiciary to try to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But we've seen this activism of passing things that are unconstitutional. And so we need to be electing people that will help us reclaim those constitutional rights.
Right. And protect you from the overreach of government.
Okay, let's talk about crime.
Okay.
Colorado
yeah.
has the dubious honor of being number one in car thefts. Mm-hmm. And think what, when somebody steals your car, say you're a single mom, that's how you get to work, yeah. that's how you get your kids to places, it really affects their lives. And then we've seen this movement with DAs, that some DAs are deciding which, you know, which cases to work on and which cases not. Very concerned about crime here in Colorado, and particularly what's going to happen in Douglas County.
Yeah, and you know, Douglas County is one of the safest places in the entire Front Range. We're lucky in that respect. But that comes from years of good conservative government and good policy, enforcement of laws, tough on crime, and great citizens. But as we see the state slowly, the legislature slowly starting to pass bills that victimize citizens, that call criminals the victims of society, that tie the hands of police, that lessen the penalties for crime. And we see the crime continually rising over the last 10 years. This isn't something that just happened. It's gotten worse in the last few years, but this has been continually rising due to policies, like I just mentioned. And we need to take back our legislature. We need to continue to support police. We need to hold criminals accountable. And we need to stop saying that, you know, the citizens are the suspects here, and the police are the suspects, and the criminals are the victims. It's upside down.
It is upside down. And we've seen that with a lot of different policies where the predators are considered the victims. Mm-hmm. I mean, even as we were walking in, I mentioned how I met Lisa Bennett, who's our next guest, was on this wolf issue that was on the ballot, and that was introducing wolves onto the Western Slope. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting that we would be voting over here what was going to affect people over there. Mm-hmm. But introducing predators into the arena with really kind of no checks and balances is an assault on property rights in all different kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. So predator there, predator here. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that we protect those that would be victimized. Yes,
and you know, another thing I've noticed is that over the last few years, we've required police agencies to report more and more. And I'm all for police accountability. I think body cameras are one of the best things that happened to police agencies. It shows you your good officers, and the majority of them are.
Yes.
And then it shows you when somebody makes a mistake. But this reporting to weed out whether or not law enforcement is not doing what they should be doing or not treating everyone the same has caused new employees to be needed. The time and the money that it costs to report to the state everything that a law enforcement agency is doing, just to make sure somebody can look in that and go, oh, wait a minute, they're doing this versus this, mm-hmm. and this is what we want to do. So the bigger government, the overhead, the control of the state. Let's just put it this way. A sheriff is responsible for the citizens in their county. I truly believe that the citizens are the police and the police are the citizens, and we need to work together to make sure our community is safe. And after a year of talking to citizens, in Douglas County, we have some fabulous citizens, and we're going to work together to make sure Douglas County stays one of the lowest crime rates in the Front Range.
Okay, and so how can people get more information about you, Holly?
I have a website, Holly Kluth for Sheriff, all words, hollykluthforsheriff.net, on Facebook, Instagram. Did a little Facebook Live this morning about your show. Reach out to me. I will meet with anyone, anywhere, at any time, And I love to talk to people and get to know our citizens better. So thanks for having me here.
Well, it's great to have you here. And we actually have a little bit more time. And I kind of rushed us through. Anything else that you really want to address, or should we go through some headlines? Which would you prefer?
You know, I think I really see that the drugs that are coming into our community, and I've been saying this for months now, is that they are affecting our kids, our citizens, our borders, are letting them stream in. I've been to the border wall. I've seen the drugs coming into our country. Now we're starting to all of a sudden focus on the overdose deaths and the fentanyl and things that have been growing for the last couple years. The police see it. They see it's the root of the crime in the metro area in Douglas County. The stolen vehicles, a lot of it ties back to that. And when we keep saying that drugs are okay to our kids, and we don't enforce that because we're making things more legal, we're reducing penalties, people get the wrong idea. Our kids are getting the wrong idea that it's okay. And the proliferation of drugs in our community is increasing the crime rate, and I truly believe that that is out of the root of many of our issues, stolen vehicles, homelessness, of mental health disorders. We need to do something, and part of that is strengthening our borders and putting more resources down there to keep the drugs out of them.
Well, and it is rather remarkable as we've looked at this border and Biden's border now. I mean, it's basically there isn't any kind of a border.
Yeah.
And human trafficking. I mean, do we have human trafficking? I mean, is that a big deal here in the metro area?
Oh, yes, it is. And, you know, I think drugs tie into that. Our kids are getting addicted, and then they need it, and then they're seeking out people, and those people are taking advantage of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it is a problem. And, you know, as a parent, grandparent, I've seen how schools aren't even focusing on, prevention of this type of thing anymore. I think it's less important to them. School safety, that's been my issue for a long time, is that we need to focus on that school safety. I'm all for people that carrying concealed weapons in schools. If they have a concealed weapons permit, why not have them in the schools? Let them have their weapons in the schools to protect our kids and protect the staff. And, we're making that a target because no one has guns.
Right.
And hopefully your one school resource officer that you get there is in the right place at the right time to protect our kids.
Well, what the STEM, it was a minute 40 something, wasn't it?
A couple minutes.
Yeah, a lot can happen during that time, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I agree with you. People typically that conceal carry mm-hmm. are very well trained.
Yes.
They understand the responsibility of that, and it is a deterrent. Holly Kluth, again, what is that website?
HollyKluthForSheriff.net.
And that's K-L-U-T-H, right?
K-L-U-T-H, H-O-L-L-Y.
Okay. Thanks for being here. Karen Levine is on the line. She's a sponsor of both of our shows. Karen Levine, I don't know if you heard us talk about this, but on Sunday, our America's Veteran Stories guest is Gilbert J. Herrera. He was awarded the Bronze Star, World War II veteran, 97 years old. And because of you, that's one of the reasons that show's on the air in this show. Thank you so much. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning.
Interest rates are going up a little bit. What are you seeing in the housing market?
Well, they have moved up a little, and it has not been a deterrent.
Wow.
So the activity in the marketplace is still very, very busy, very robust. Multiple offers on homes, and very, very challenging for the buying public.
Has this weather changed things at all? Does the interest slow down? Is there an opportunity for somebody when it's so cold that they might be able to compete for a house?
Well, we'll see. I put a new listing on the market in Erie. It goes active this morning, and it's a beautiful ranch home for our aging population that doesn't want to deal with stairs. It does have a basement, but it is gorgeous, and we'll see what activity we get.
So Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, if somebody is interested in purchasing that home, they should call you, correct?
They should. They should call me at 303-877-7516.
Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance. Again, that's 303-877-7516. Karen, we will talk with you next week.
Sounds like a great plan.
Okay. We're going to go to break. Holly Kluth is in studio. She is a candidate for Douglas County Sheriff. When we come back, we'll be talking with Lisa Bennett. And she actually read the Build Back Bankrupt Bill. And she also is going to talk to us about some of these nuances that are in the transportation bill. Patty, our researcher, had mentioned them, but Lisa's gone more in depth. You will not want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I greatly appreciate you. On the line with us is Lisa Bennett. And she's a small business owner. And she's on the line with me. And we're going to discuss how politics manufactures events that seem like good ideas, but in reality are restricting our freedoms, specifically our livelihoods. And we talked with Lisa a few weeks ago about the Colorado bill that would restrict mountain lion hunting and how that bill was killed in committee. Is that bill gone now? What do you think, Lisa?
I wish I could say that it was. Our form of government was to pass laws by our elected representatives, and that's being undermined with the mountain lion bill through a ballot initiative. So just like in 2020, when we had the reintroduction of the wolves, we now are going to have the mountain lion issue on the ballot. And the lobbyists that were for restricting mountain lion hunting also want it on the ballot because they knew they couldn't get it passed in the legislature because of lobbying groups that would be opposed to it. Now, for those that don't know the issue, mountain lions currently are allowed to be hunted in Colorado. It's a means to keep the predator population in check. Too many predators and you get less deer, and when you get less deer, those predators have to go closer to populated areas to feed, whether that's livestock from ranchers, little dogs or cats in the neighborhood, or unfortunately, it's once in a blue moon, it's not that common, but you do hear about them attacking people, usually runners on a remote trail.
I miss this, Lisa. So this is, they're going to try to get this on this ballot?
I think they are aiming to get it on a ballot for this year, but if they don't get the signatures, it might not be till 2024, but they're going to put it on a ballot initiative.
And that's the thing about it. I know everyone was celebrating. In fact, I was talking to some folks about this after the bill was killed in committee, and they were excited about it. I'm like, it's going to come back. But I didn't think it was going to be on the ballot. I was thinking it would be on through the legislature. So there's going to be a lot of work to do on this, Lisa.
Absolutely is. And the problem with it being on a ballot initiative is that this is a complex issue that really needs to be dealt with by experts, so like wildlife biologists, et cetera. Sending it out to the general public who doesn't, that lives in a populated area like Denver and doesn't really understand the ramifications for the rural areas where this bill will actually have its impact, is really difficult for those that are the stakeholders, like those ranchers and other groups like hunters that want to advocate for a balanced approach. It's impossible to get the right people to vote the right way because they just don't understand everything that's going to happen with this bill. So I'm hoping that people will take the time to not vote based on the pretty picture of a mountain lion, but actually vote on the ramifications of having mountain lions in your suburban neighborhood searching for the mule deer that are eating in people's gardens.
So a couple of things, Lisa, the image that when you were on last time, the image that Zach put with that show recap, shows a mountain lion, and it really shows the fangs. And it's not just that little kitty cat that you're going to, you know, pet. They are dangerous animals. And we've all seen The Lion King, and we talk about the circle of life. And in the circle of life, throughout all of history, man has been part of this as well, through hunting. And what they're in essence trying to do, I think, is take man out of that, the hunting component of it. And then when you do that, the predators, and we have more and more predators, and you and I talked about this offline, that starts to really then affect the deer and elk herds. But also on the domestic side, it hurts our, they attack livestock, and that ultimately will mean higher prices and shortages at the grocery store. So it's really trying to affect what I would call the circle of life, Lisa. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I would even say that it's more a livelihood issue as well. So another impact is that a lot of people don't realize with rising property taxes, those rising property taxes also affect ranchers and farmers. In addition, you have wildfires, like Colorado has just been hit with wildfires the last few years. And insurance companies don't look at a rancher who lives near a subdivision that may have caught on fire as being separate and not as prone to be in a wilderness area. So even though the rancher may not have had any buildings burned down, they're clumped together geographically with those other homes that did catch on fire, and insurance premiums rise up. So the ranchers are being hit on lots of different fronts. Increased insurance costs due to increased wildfires, increased cost for property taxes on the property that they own to raise that cattle, increased cost for purchasing grazing rights to graze that cattle to feed them, increased cost due to the drought for purchasing hay, which they need to feed that cattle over the winter. So they're being hit on so many different areas that a lot of them can't stay in business. They don't have higher profit margins. And just because you see the cost of meat go up in your grocery store doesn't mean that any of that goes to the rancher. That increase in cost is borne by us, but it is not necessarily trickling back down to the rancher. A lot of times those ranchers have contracts with the wholesalers or middlemen that buy the cattle on contract at a fixed price ahead of time and then sell those to the meat supply houses. So really the rancher slash farmer is kind of stuck with a fixed price regardless of inflation and what you see on the store shelves. And with all the other costs going up, fuel as well, they need vehicles, pickup trucks, they need tractors if they're farmers, etc., and fuel costs and everything else dramatically hit a bottom line that has thin margins. You're going to see a lot of farmers and ranchers in dire financial straits. So I would say that any law that impacts a rancher or farmer is possibly going to lead to an increase in bankruptcies in that industry.
And why should that matter, though, to somebody that's living in Metro Denver? I mean, I know why it matters, but why would you say that it should matter to them when this is occurring?
It's historically, ranchers and farmers have been very independent people. They've also have to be optimistic people because you never know what the weather's going to bring and whether you're going to have issues with predators if you're a rancher, if you're going to have issues with drought and not have the ability to grow your crop or as much of your crop as you had planned or even losing it. And all of those things impact the individual small mom-and-pop farmer a lot more. And a lot of your audience may not realize just how corporate it has gotten in the ranching and ag world. As a matter of fact, about 30% of all of our farming land isn't even owned by Americans anymore. Our Secretary of State, and I don't mean just the current, but over the years, so this is true through the Obama administration and previous administrations, Bush, allow foreigners to buy up our farmland. Additionally, China owns a huge stake in Smithfield Foods, which is a meat processing company where if you go to the grocery store, you'll see chicken legs or whatever wrapped under their name. So you have to understand that Americans for security need to own our supply chain, and one of the most important components of that would be our food production. But our government has allowed foreign companies to take over the process, and they have also put our independent farmers at great risk compared to the corporate farmers because they can't compete at that level. They don't have the means of production, kind of economies of scale that the big corporate guys do, and we are losing our ability to control our supply chain on that. And that means grocery store shelves can be empty, but also could mean that food prices go up.
And that is actually the bottom line that people need to understand, that these policies will ultimately end up in higher food costs and possible shortages. And that always occurs when we get government more and more involved in these particular issues. And when I say government, that would mean even passing a ballot initiative like that, because that is something that is governing. And I think it's important to understand that. Anything else on this, Lisa? And then let's go to break and come back and talk about the Biden's Build Back Bankrupt plan, okay? Is there anything
else? Sounds good. No, well, we can go to break. Thank you.
Okay, sounds great. So this show comes to you. Great sponsors. Another one of those is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. They've been investing in a lot of great inventory. And if you're a chef, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. Sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool. Or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool. That website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Lisa Bennett.
Three Points Financial is a fiduciary financial planning company focused on helping individuals and families. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse at Three Points Financial specialize in investment strategies, tax planning and preparation, and retirement planning with no product sales or commissions. Tax laws have changed and will continue to change. Inflation is real. Three Points Financial helps you maneuver through these changes to achieve your financial success. For clarity and a solid, relevant financial and investment plan, while working with a company that puts your interests at the forefront, schedule a no-obligation initial consultation at threepointsfinancial.com. That's threepointsfinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And also check out one of my other great sponsors, and that is Kirsch Insurance Group. They're specialists in the Medicare arena. Medicare premiums have gone up, and perhaps they can help you save some money. They work with so many different carriers that they can find something, hopefully, that will work better for you. And their website is iKirsch, that's iKirsch.com. It does not cost anything to reach out to them. So again, that is Kirsch Insurance Group. Get them on your side of the table when you're trying to figure out what you want to do with Medicare. Lisa, I was thinking about this as we're going to, and I'm talking with Lisa Bennett, and she is a small business owner, owns Wild Skies. Is that a resort? What would you call that exactly, Lisa? I've looked at the pictures and it's absolutely gorgeous.
We are a year-round destination for outdoor enthusiasts. So we are solely in lodging. We do not do any kind of equipment rental or guiding, but we are in a fantastic location for you to go right out the door to hike, bike, fish, snowmobile, hunt, snowshoe, whatever it is that you enjoy doing outside.
And that's Wild Skies, correct? It's gorgeous. The pictures are amazing.
Correct.
Okay. Lisa, to try to tie all this together, first of all, people in the Front Range, they may say, well, I wouldn't mind if mountain lions came in and took a few deer out because I get tired of them eating my flowers. But then what we have to realize is once those deer are gone, what might happen to your pet once those animals are in our neighborhoods like that. I think it's important that people understand that this ultimately could affect them as well right here in the metro area.
Correct. So the idea is that you want to keep everything in balance. We want to be good stewards of our wildlife, our land, our water. And in order to do that, we need to make sure that there is enough food to sustain the population that we have. Hunting is not only one way to sustain that population at the correct level where there's enough field deer or other herd animals for them to survive on, but it's also a way to bring in tax revenue to help offset the cost for the wildlife biologists that the state hires to not only maintain the herd levels but also predator levels. Basically, it's everything in moderation and keeping things in balance, and that hunting revenue helps offset the cost of stewardship of our land.
How does all this tie into Biden's Build Back Bankrupt plan?
Well, most people may not realize that the top three items, his priorities, are racial equity, climate change, and environmental justice. And Biden has made sure that all of his cabinet secretaries are on board in implementing those three items as priorities in their prospective or respective departments.
Well, I would hope the economy or supply chain or even keeping out of a war would be better priorities. As I'm looking at this, I'm just totally shocked. I guess I knew it, but you've put it in words that we can all understand.
Yeah, I would agree 100% that I would much rather that we focus on the economy or staying out of a war. But all these economic issues that we're facing today, whether it's inflation, whether it's lack of affordable housing, et cetera, all of these things are policy objectives that were purposely meant to happen. In other words, what's happening now is what the Biden administration wanted. They want to control the narrative. And the pain that people might be going through, whether it's someone who can't find a job or a small business owner who's dealing with shoplifting issues and their margins declining, he wants that pain to be felt so that he can manipulate the narrative to accomplish his goals of environmental justice, climate change, addressing climate change, and racial equity. And so we need to understand how that's being implemented in each of his departments. So, for example, you have the Department of Labor. You assume, well, that's minimum wage and making sure that OSHA is doing a good job of keeping everyone safe. They also have used these directives to be more inclusive and diverse in what they call equitable ways. And it sounds great that we're building back the economy, but the part that's missing is how are they building it back and what are they building it back as? It's not what you expect. It's not going back to what it was. It's going back to the vision they have for how they want it. So the phrase might sound great, but we really need to understand what it means. And really what it means is at what cost to the general public or to us as individuals, citizens in our country, at what cost to our freedoms? At what cost through our good-paying jobs that we're losing, whether that's through the XL pipeline or the shutting down of transmission plants across Colorado, where a lot of those workers were making six-figure salaries with what you call the Cadillac health plans. They're gone, and what's going to replace them? Or how about the lack of educational achievement because we shut down schools? And when people talk about a lack of affordable housing, that's planned. Believe me, developers want to make money, and if people need affordable housing, they would build it. But when you have communities, especially in resort towns where affordable housing seems to be the toughest issue, you've got regulations on environmental studies you have to do. You've got zoning rules. Oh, you need to have a certain size footprint, and you need to have so much green space. Well, if you devote so much to green space, if you devote, or even communities that are buying up land so that they can keep green space. When I say communities, I'm talking about government organizations like the county. That increases the price of land. Mm-hmm. And if the price of land goes up, and if building materials like lumber goes up, and everything else goes up, how can a builder actually build an affordable home anymore? And it's not the builder trying to take advantage or make a huge profit margin. I know plenty of people that were willing to actually contribute the land they owned for affordable housing, but after all the environmental impact studies and all the rules and permit fees and everything else that the town or municipality required, it could no longer be affordable.
Well, and Karen Levine, our REMAX realtor, had said that to rebuild from the Boulder County Marshall Fire, that because of rules and regulations, I mean, it's several hundred thousand dollars more before they're really out of the ground because of rules and regulations and all that. That's pretty daunting for these people that want to rebuild, Lisa.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I think what your audience needs to understand, too, is that right now the administration seems to say, oh, this is all COVID-related, or maybe even they're blaming Ukraine for fuel prices and things. But that's not the case. It's the mantra of climate change that they're going to use to justify everything they do. They want fuel prices to go up because they realize that'll lead to us driving less. And ultimately, they don't want us driving, period, because that is a freedom that we have. And they certainly don't want us to be driving in areas that they want to protect as far as going up to the mountains and into the woods and things like that. And I know that might sound extreme, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but the truth of the matter is that every regulation and every bill that they try to pass, they are putting things in there that actually restrict our freedoms, and that's what we need to stand up to and defend. So I kind of am saying don't trust that a government solution is going to work, because a government has never, ever invented anything that really was a solution. Solutions come when people have freedom to choose, think, and invent.
Well, and I can't remember which economist said it, but it said if you put the government in charge of the Sahara Desert, you'd run out of sand. But I wanted to just touch on something. I heard an economist recently say that this is not an economic recovery, even though Biden is out there saying that. This is an economic reopening. They shut the economy down and they're reopening it. And so this is not great economic policy by Biden. This is opening it back up. But of course, there's all kinds of supply chain issues. I was thinking about small businesses, Lisa. If they can't get product to sell to people, then that's a big squeeze on them. And it almost looks like it's by design, Lisa.
Well, and during COVID, of course, we saw that the big major corporations were allowed to stay open. So the Home Depots and Walmarts and Targets of the world stayed open, while the little mom and pop shops that maybe sold the same items were told they couldn't open. And this really had a dramatic effect, especially if you notice that this happened in the spring. So March, April, that's when everyone's going to garden supply stores and buying their trees and bushes and flowers and whatever else. Those items have a shelf life. And so if you weren't able to stay open and sell them, you just lost. Your inventory got spoiled, so to speak. Or, you know, in the case of maybe you kept watering those trees, but the expense of staying at your shop and taking care of all those items and not being able to sell them, I mean, you still have to pay employees. You can't do it all on your own. And even so, you need to make an income as well. So it had a big effect on private industry. And, I mean, it had effect everywhere. And Biden has declared a war on right-to-work states. He wants them banned. He wants all workers to be part of a union, because a union collectively can make decisions that can take away freedoms or control how those employees work. And so he'd like to see that everywhere, whether it's public sector, educators, whether that's unions at catering unions, food supply workers, transportation, et cetera. There's a big effect. And I think what people don't realize, too, is that the Department of Labor has prioritized what I'll call interfering with Fortune 500 companies. I'm not sure what you thought, Kim, but I was really shocked when I saw that Atlanta said that they no longer wanted to host the baseball.
Major League Baseball.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. The Major League Baseball All-Star Playoffs, and that had to go to Denver. And I was really surprised at all the companies like Coca-Cola, Hallmark, you name it, all these companies that were all of a sudden speaking out about equity. And I had no idea that corporations were communicating or collaborating with the government. But essentially, through the Department of Labor, the government has control of major corporations. They can make their life difficult, and they can also dictate how they want those corporations to achieve equity in the workplace. And so one thing that we noticed with the truckers in Canada is all the news reports about how people's bank accounts were being shut down, even if all they did was donate to the truckers. If you think that's only happening in Canada, you got to open your eyes, because it happened with General Mike Flynn. His accounts were shut down when he was going through the FBI investigation. Mike Lindell recently indicated that his bank was closing down even his charity, his foundation account, not just the MyPillow account, because I think the bank didn't even have the MyPillow account. It just had his other fundraising charities where he helps with substance abuse, et cetera. He was basically told, we are no longer going to host your bank accounts. You need to go find another bank. And if that can happen to the generals and the multimillionaire businessmen of our world, we're ridiculous if we don't think that that can happen to us. It absolutely can. So our First Amendment rights, being outspoken about any government issue, can lead to the closure of bank accounts. And I can't imagine doing anything without a bank account. How will I pay my credit card bill? My credit card's closed down. How will I buy food? How will I get cash? How will I cash a check? It's a serious implication that people have to understand, but the government has control of our banks.
And that's why we need to reclaim our constitutional rights. Lisa, we have 1 minute left. How would you like to button this up?
You know, I think we need to just have another call to talk specifically about the transportation bill. Wireless cars are coming, and that means they're going to have control of your car and transportation. And we noticed about 6 years ago along I-70, they were installing high-speed broadband fiber mm-hmm. all along the expressways. And we didn't understand what that was for, but I think it was for the future infrastructure of being able to control automobiles. And that's just another thing we'll have to talk about in another day.
Okay, we'll get you scheduled. This is Lisa Bennett. She is the owner of Wild Skies, which is a great lodging location out in the wild, where you can snowshoe and hike, and be sure and check that out. Lisa Bennett, we will get you scheduled again.
Thank you.
And our quote for the end of the day is Thomas Jefferson. It says, when governments fear the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as the last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. That's Thomas Jefferson. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.